that the Lord said, that the church say, amen.
Amen.
To the Lord. This morning, our preacher is really, I'm not going to say really, is not against Tshala.
Amen.
Amen. He serves as the interim pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Branch, located in Long Branch, New Jersey. And because he is not a guest, he is an associate minister here at the Shiloh Baptist Church in Trenton, New Jersey. He also serves as chaplain at the St. Francis Medical Center here in Trenton. He is a trustee of Mercer County Community College and president CEO of New Lease on Life Ministry, where he assists the homeless and formerly incarcerated with improving the quality of their lives. And this is just a couple of the things that he's involved with. But, Reverend Coleman is a servant of the Lord.
Amen.
He has three sons and is married to Deaconess / Assemblywoman Bonnie Watson Coleman.
Amen.
More importantly, our preacher loves the Lord and loves to praise his name. Now, you've seen Reverend Coleman before up here. He loves to preach, he loves to teach, he loves to dance for the Lord. Amen. And, you know, and that's a blessing. I mean, God told us to praise him with every flow. And that's one thing about me, about Reverend Coleman. He would praise the Lord in many ways. You'll see him sometime out in the Northex greeting people. You know, and I just want to introduce to some and present to others our preacher of the hour, the Reverend William E. Coleman Jr. Let us receive him with the proclamation of the word with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be home. How many of you here today have been through something? How many of you have found yourself awake at night in the wee hours of the morning and you're talking with the Lord? How many of you have been waiting on that breakthrough? Well, I don't know about you, but I've been through some stuff lately, and still I praise the Lord. You see, I have a testimony this morning, and can I share my testimony with you? Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you.
All right.
I lift my head in praise. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. And I vow to praise him through the good and the bad. I praise him.
Hallelujah.
Well, happy or sad. And I praise him in all that go through, because praise is what I do, because I owe it all to you.
Amen.
Praise is what I do, even when I'm going through, I've learned to worship. Circumstance, even doesn't stand the chance, my praise outweighs the past. And I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. And I praise you whether happy or sad. And I praise ooh, ooh. Praise is what I do. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody ought to say hallelujah up in here. Yeah. Oh, I have a testimony. And I praise God this morning. I thank God for the pastor allowing me to come and spread a word this morning, just to share a word with you this morning. Before I do that, I want to recognize this brother who just came home from Afghanistan. Stand up, brother. I know you're here someplace. You just came home. God bless you. Good to see you this morning. Amen. Take out that garbage. It's good to be home to the church family. I miss you. I have a church that I enjoy every Sunday. We sing nice little songs. I do a lot of a cappella. Yeah, I act up in the pulpit down there too. Yes, 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 yes. God has blessed me with a very supportive family and sent me out into the mission fields. Amen? Amen? But for a while this morning, I want to speak from the Gospel of Luke. You've heard Luke 5, 17 through 26, but more specific, verse 20 says, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. So I want you to pray with me on the topic this morning. You've got the power. You've got the power. Lord, take my words this morning, Lord, and make them yours. I don't have anything. I'm just a broken down vessel, oh God. So I ask this morning if you would just lift me up, Lord, and strengthen me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth be yours. And let the folk who are here today, when they go home, say, that Brother Coleman was on to something. Lord, touch us all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I know you enjoyed your summer, but let me... Scripture, when Jesus told persons that faith had made them well, that faith of an individual who were in need of healing. To the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus said, daughter, be of good cheer, your faith has made you well. To blind Bartimaeus, Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you well. To the one leper out of 10, Jesus said, arise and go away, your faith has made you well. But in this situation, the paralytic man received healing not because of his faith, but because of the faith of his friends. Listen to what the text says. That when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your faith and your sins are forgiven. If you want to be honest today, you will have to admit that you are in church right now, not because of your faith or prayers alone, but because of the faith and prayers of someone else. Let's look at the story for a minute. I'm kind of excited this morning because everybody's saying amen. In my church, they look at me like a deer in the headlights, but that's okay. Let's look at this story for a minute. A man was brought to Jesus by the faith of his friends. And Luke said that the power of God was present to heal them. In the story there, I picked the paralytic, and there are four friends. Although, I'm going to call him Patrick, he wanted to attend the meeting, he was paralyzed, and his paralysis prevented him from getting to Jesus. He was paralyzed. He was unable to make use of his arms or his legs. He was paralyzed. He could not stand, sit, walk, run, jump. He was paralyzed. He could not bend, stoop, squat. He was paralyzed. He could not lean, lounge, limp. All he could do was sit there and look up day in and day out. There he lay looking up at the ceiling, counting the cracks and crevices and the cobwebs. There he lay imagining what it would be like to have strength in his limbs and healing in his body. He imagined what it would be like to look at a person in the eyes rather than looking at their knees. I know you know what I'm talking about. He imagined what it would be like to walk down the street with his family, to play with his son, to run after his daughter, to sit at the dinner table for Sunday afternoon meal. Today there are people all around us who are like this man. And I saw some brothers coming in this morning. You know why they're here? Because I said, come on out to church because I'm preaching. God bless you. I'm glad to see you here this morning. But let me talk about it. There are people all around us who are like this man. People who are in a state of paralysis. Maybe not in their arms, legs, or body, but still they are paralyzed. They are paralyzed by their social condition, circumstance, incident in their lives, some unresolved conflict, some unconfessed sin, some unpaid debt, paralyzed by their past, paralyzed by their looks, paralyzed by their race or color, paralyzed by their sex or sexuality, paralyzed by their low self-esteem or no self-esteem. I know you missed me from acting up here, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. All right. They have the activity of their limbs, but they still are what? Paralyzed. It is not that they are not necessarily lazy or crazy. It is not that they don't want to work, but due to circumstances have made them in such a way and have conspired to keep them out of the game of life. And they need a lift. They are in the same condition as this man. Unless they get a lift, they will remain paralyzed. And before we judge them, we should remember when we went through something like this and somebody lifted us up because we could not lift ourselves. Somebody ought to say amen up in here. Now, as never before, we are challenged in so many ways to move beyond persons of their state of paralysis so that they can get to Jesus. We need to move them to a place where they can get to Jesus. That is what serving God, living for Jesus, and loving people is really all about, isn't it? That is social activism, my brothers and sisters, for this millennium and the millennium to come. We must make it our business, our number one priority to help someone get to Jesus. And there are many people who are not going to receive the message of salvation unless you lift up a corner of their mat and bring them to a place where they can hear from God. Men need to affirm and to be affirmed and appreciated. Women need to be empowered and children need to be mentored. People need more than chicken soup for their soul. They need the meat of the word. In other words, they need a lift. It is not there that there are no miracles available. There are. It is not that there are no opportunities available. It is that folk need a lift. I got to tell you, I got a lift yesterday in the Cadwalder Park. Amen. In the name of Jesus. You looked at the Trenton trash paper today. They didn't say anything negative, did they? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We had a good time in the Lord in Cadwalder Park yesterday. Amen. And nobody was out there mugging and acting crazy. So stop writing the mess about and write about the good. I can tell you today, this morning, that in this city, this state, this nation, I can tell you right now they're in a state of paralysis. And the state of paralysis of this nation is somewhat of a paradox. Yeah. We are technically powerful, morally paralyzed. Economically potent, ethically paralyzed. Politically perceptive, spiritually paralyzed. I am convinced that people of power and privilege just don't get it. But back to the man. I often stray when I'm up here preaching. I get caught up in the worldly stuff, and I got to tell you about that too. Here's this man caught up in the throes of his dilemma. When in step these four brothers. Oh, I like these brothers. I call them the Fab Four. I want to call them Masons. No, I won't do that. Maybe I'll call them Kappas, or maybe I'll call them Alphas. I want to do that, but I'm digressing. Let me move on. You know. But there were four brothers. I do know that on this day, on this occasion, they became a fraternity of faith and they lifted this brother. These brothers took the vision of the Million Man March seriously. They marched and then they moved. They saw brokenness in their community. They saw lameness in their community. They saw importance in their community and they picked it up, put it on their shoulders and went to one and moved forward. And they could do the same. You could do that too. Somebody ought to say hallelujah up in here. We need to get off the couch with the clicker and start lifting people up. Amen. But I like these brothers. Yeah. You know, they said that this is our community. This is our friend. He's one of us. His problem is our problem. This is our dilemma. This is our situation. We will handle it. We will deal with it. And they voluntarily took the brother up on their arm, in their arms, made their way toward Jesus. Yeah, yeah, I can see them now lifting the paralytic man, taking his weight up and putting it on them. This is a church action, my folks. This is social activism. This is the church practicing what it preaches. This is the city council practicing what it preaches. This is the mayor practicing what he preaches. This is the politician practicing what they preach. Say amen, if you will. Now, carrying a man on a pallet. Can you imagine? This is not easy. Work with me now. See, he's trying to carry this man on the pallet, but he's looking up all around trying to see what's going on because he's nosy. But every once in a while, they have to stop and kind of get him back in place because he almost falls off the pallet. He kept trying to see where he was going. Every time he would shift his weight on the pallet, these brothers would have to stop, get their balance before moving on. I stopped by here today to tell you that getting people to Jesus ain't easy. Serving people is not always delightful. Ask President Obama. Comforting or soothing them is always a problem. There's problems, there's obstacles always in your way. Opposition to outcome. But these brothers did not give up. They pressed on. These brothers were tenacious, but they were tardy. Oh, yeah. They were late for the start of the meeting. But let me tell you this, and it's important to note that they had decided to, if they had decided to go to the meeting without that man, they would have been on time. They probably would have taken another mode of transportation, a Lexus, a Lincoln, a limo. They would have been there when Jesus began to preach in the front row, in their choice seats, right down front, looking in Jesus' face, where they would have been seeing everything and being seen by everybody. But it matters not where you sit in church, but rather who sits in the church because of you. It matters not who sees you, but rather who sees Jesus in the church because of you. Some of you don't get that, but I remember sitting on that row, me and my wife and my father-in-law, and then we started adding folks, and now we got a whole list of us. As somebody sitting there because of you. I want to tell you today that you got the power. Yes, you do. You have the power. Turn this world around. You have the power to change it, to get this nation back on track, to get the state back on track, to get the city back on track, to get children off drugs and tobacco, to prevent them from killing themselves and each other, to get the family restored, the church revived, and the nation renewed. We have the power. Let me talk about this man and his three friends for a minute. When they arrived at the meeting, there was standing room only. The room was filled to capacity. As a matter of fact, my sanctified imagination tells me that there was an usher looking out every few minutes for the fire marshal. Because the capacity crowd certainly in violation of the public's assembly ordinance. And now imagine the disappointment of these brothers must have felt when they saw the crowd because they wanted to get to their friend, to Jesus. But faith and service do not quit. Faith says that there's a way. Faith says all things are possible if you believe. Faith says that we can get this man to Jesus. Faith says we can make it if we try. So they tried the front door, no room. They tried the back door, no room. They tried the side door, no good. They tried the stairs, nothing. And when they were about to give up, well, bless the Lord, they looked up. Hey, I got to tell you, touch your neighbor and said, look up. Yeah, when things start going bad for you, look up. When you don't think you can make it, look up. When you cannot see your way through, look up. If it seems like you just can't take it, look up. Well, Jesus sees the faith like that, his heart. His touch when he sees you doing it. When he sees you looking up, he said, I thought you'd never do it. Thank you for looking up because I'm right here for you. You know, his phones are never busy. Whenever you call and he just said, calling, huh? Thought you'd never get here. Gave up that liquor last night, goggled and came on out the church. Thought you'd never do it. Oh, when he sees, he knows, he understands. Sometimes I got to tell you, I tell a guy in my church who comes to church every Sunday breathing on me and I said, look here, brother. Get some mint. Get some Listerine. I love you for coming. And he looks at me because, you know, 80% of the church I preach in is white. So, I'm always messing with folks. And they don't take it as because I'm black and they're white. They take it because I'm bringing a word from the Lord. Amen? But he and I play golf together. We're good friends. But I said, don't come to church with the alcohol breathing on me. I don't need a contact high at 10 o'clock in the morning. So, and you know what he said to me last week? Said, check it out. Yeah. You have not because you ask not. Say something. Say something. Don't be afraid to say something. You got the power. Say something. You got a mouth. You can point fingers. You can say something. Oh, yeah. I'll do that in a minute. The lady said, oh, my foot's hurting. I said, how about exercise and losing a little weight? Get, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me. She's weighing 300 talking about, oh, my foot hurt. I guess your foot's crying. Lord, have mercy. They sent me there in the mission field. They didn't say I should be shutting up. Don't you think I went down there and it was tame? I know I sat behind the pastor for 10 years, but I've been crazy all along. Crazy for the Lord. Walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. Guess what? There's a duck. Jesus saw their faith. Yes, he did. And he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. Get this. He saw their faith. And the man's sins were forgiven. You see, you got the power. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, they will. Then means stop, hold up. Then I will. You will have a word from heaven. Maybe lightning, it may be thundering, and it may be me slapping you, and will forgive their sins and heal their land. See, Jesus do send folks down to the street and you out. He did turn the tables over in the temple. So if you're walking around saying, like, oh, she's wrong, telling everybody except her something wrong with you, amen. Let me move on. I move on. There is enough faith in this church today to save this entire world. How do I know? Well, because my Bible tells me that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you shall speak to the mountain and they will fall into the sea. My Bible says that all things are possible if you believe. It was the faith of these men who got their friend to Jesus. And it will be our faith that will help bring others to Jesus. You don't have to look around to see who God is going to use to lift people in this community. I've got news for you. God is going to use you. Now, I'm not aggressive more. I'm not always proud of America. But I'm involved in this state. I'm invested in this county. I'm invested in this city. And here's why. America never has been and never will be what God intended her to be without faith of the church, without the community of faith. It was our faith that sustained this nation through the dark days of slavery, segregation, second-class citizenship. It was faith that sustained this nation that while they reversed affirmative action and plotted to keep us out of the corporate boardroom and dragged us behind trucks, it was faith. We have always given this nation the best of our faith, prayers, and service. Whatever this nation becomes in the future, whatever this state becomes in the future, it will only be caused with us being involved. It is our faith and prayers that will deal with the fat, the greedy, and the handkerchief heads who've sold us out for a few coins. Quit talking about it and do something about it. Get organized, block by block, street by street, person by person. Stop complaining. Vote. Register to vote and quit talking about who was in the state house. You put them there or you didn't do anything. Same thing. Something about that state name tag that turns you into being impotent. Don't go there, Bill. But if this nation could have made it without us, they would have left our ancestors where they were in the first place. Since they couldn't make it without us, they came and got us. And they've been coming after us ever since. They didn't know how to plant, they came for us. They didn't know how to cook, they came and got us. They didn't know how to build, they came and got us. They didn't know how to raise our children, they came and got us. They didn't know how to praise God, they came and got us. I gotta tell you, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, but let me finish this, man. I'm sorry, I digressed again. Jesus saw that their faith and said to him, man, your sins, whatever they are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the scribes jumped right up in the middle of this. They thought that Jesus had crossed over the provincial line of protocol. He had abused heavenly authority. Only God and God alone can forgive sin. They said, Jesus, who do you think you are? But don't you know that there is not only resistance getting people to Jesus, there's also resistance from people when we bring people to Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen up in here. But who are these scribes and Pharisees? They were members of the religious order. They were teachers of the law. They were church folks. Well, Jesus kind of shook him around. He said, well, I don't want to show off. You see, he says, forgiving sins is really the easy part. But if you really want to know who I am and what I can do and the power I have, watch this. Man, get up off of that pallet. Raise and pick up that mat and go home. Go on with your living. Go back to your family. Go back to your church and get up and go. My brothers and sisters, as African American church and African American community, we must keep the faith and let faith keep us. We have to love this nation, this state, this county, this city, and our people enough to lift them on the shoulders of our faith and get them to Jesus. When Jesus sees our faith, he will forgive sins. He will heal the land. He will save this nation. How do I know? Because there is more to the story. Then I'm going to sit down. This would not be the last time that a person was healed because of someone else's faith and service. Keep turning in the gospel pages. Look where another capacity crowd had gathered on Calvary. When God saw Jesus hanging on the cross, God's heart was touched. God's spirit was moved, and God acted on our behalf. God saw the faith of only the begotten Son, and God saved us. God saw what Jesus had done on Calvary, and God saved us. Our Creator saw Jesus dying there on the cross, and he saved us. God saw the nails in his hand of Jesus, and he saved us. God saw blood flowing down the pierced side of Jesus, and he saved us. See, God had a reason for saving you and for saving me. Not just so we can go to heaven when we die. Not so we can see God face to face. Not just so we can get rich and prosper. The real reason that God saved us is so that we can lift God up by lifting up others. Yeah. You've got the power.